Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ricky and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
John and Hugh. Call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Two balls, two strikes. High fly ball belted. It's a grand slam. Into the Atlanta bullpen. Second career grand slam for Christian Yelich. 72 RBIs. He scores his third run, and that's home run number 33.
The Braves win streak comes to an end last night, and welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Chip Carey on the call on Fox Sports, and that is the lone Braves radio play-by-play highlight you will hear during the show. You'll hear some during Tanisha's updates and sports flashes, but that's it for us because there's no reason for us to play anything more from that game last night. We just got to move on. Hey, Hugh, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. You know, I got to admit, I went to bed a little bit early. I remember it was, 2-4? What was the score? In I caught it about the fourth inning. No,
4-1.
3-1. It was 1-4. Something like that. Because I was in the fifth inning because I was there for the Tyler home run. Tyler Flowers home run.
Yeah, they made it 3-1, right?
Yeah. Something like that, John, whatever it was. I was there for that.
It doesn't matter. It was 13-1.
The wheels fell off the wagon after that a little bit.
Yeah,
fell off the wagon.
Yeah, trotting out Bryce Wilson and Blevins and Oscar Noah. And I don't know what's with Touki Toussaint, but boy, he hasn't been on his game. And it'd be nice to see Touki kind of get that going. A little bit. But, yeah, last night, very forgettable. So the win streak ends last night. What are you going to do? It's first loss since the start of the second half. It's the first loss in six games. It's the first time you've lost on the road trip. So, if you're going to lose a game, lose one like that and just kind of move on.
Yeah, and I think that we said at the other day, like when you had won, three over there at that point against Milwaukee, that no matter what you get at this point, it's house money. You're playing with house money. So it really didn't – it's not as bad as it looked last night. Sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you.
Yeah, and last night, the Christian Yelich bear got you. That Milwaukee offense is some kind of serious. I mean, that's the thing you have to understand is that they're pretty good, too. And Dallas Keuchel goes on the mound today at 2:10 this afternoon. And, Hugh, if Dallas Keuchel goes out there, and this is even with what happened yesterday, if you just kind of throw it away, if Dallas goes out there and deals today and the Braves beat Milwaukee, they're going to end up this road trip 5-1. That's just exceptional.
That's not a bad look. And what you've heard from Dallas – and the mantra that he's taken since he's been on the mound, he's out there trying to do work. He's working. He's working. And I that's what I expect from him. I expect from him at least 7 innings, maybe more, of maybe 3-hit ball. That's what I'm expecting from Dallas Keuchel today.
Yeah, he has become, I think, I'm loath to say, the ace of the staff. I will say that he has become the most important person in the staff. He's become the number one guy in the staff at the moment.
I think that his mentality and his attitude is great for this team. I think that he's good for these young players, and I think that his infectious attitude is definitely going to rub off on some guys.
And we'll talk certainly more about the Braves coming up as they get ready for the Brewers, and then finally tomorrow they're back at home as they get set for a 4-game weekend set against the Washington Nationals. So here come the Nats in to face the Braves in a critical 4-game set. Right, everything's critical at this point of the season when you're fighting for the NL East crown and whatnot. Some of the other headlines today. Today is a day that many of us have waited for. Now, I'm not going to blow the trumpets and the fanfare because it's only training camp, but for the first time since the Super Bowl, and not counting off-season camp things, the NFL is really underway today. The Denver Broncos are the first team to report to camp, and they are practicing in Dove Valley today. beautiful Dove Valley, and it really is. I worked 1 year in Denver, and they have some. Broncos got some nice facilities there, Hugh. I mean, a nice place.
I've never seen it, John. Yeah. I wouldn't.
It's pretty sweet.
Wouldn't know.
But Denver getting ready. Denver, Hugh, the Denver Broncos are in pads and in helmets and on the field.
It's football. No more manufactured stories like Andy and Randy were talking about yesterday. No more lists. No more manufactured lists just to get through this little doldrums of not having no football to talk about. We actually going to have some storylines this week in training camp because the Broncos are in camp. Hopefully somebody gets to fighting tomorrow or somebody gets to fighting today when they're bringing in their stuff. Or something like that. Yeah, they get to fight in the parking lot. Hopefully there's something to talk about football related.
Remember, we are 15 days away from the first game of the year in Canton at the Hall of Fame game. So we're only 2 weeks from tomorrow. I mean, you don't have much time to get ready here. So the Broncos, not that there's anything that goes into the game. Funny story. I was having dinner last night, and the wife looked at me. I said, hey, did you know that the Broncos report to us? She goes, it's already football season? I went, yep. And I said, because, you know, next Monday we're at camp. She goes, really? It's that fast? I went, yep. I said, the first game's only in 2 weeks. She goes, wait, they start training camp and then they play like a week later? I went, yeah. She goes, how can they do that? And I went, because the game doesn't count. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just going to be a bunch of guys out there playing base defense. And she just looked at me and I went, don't worry. They got this. They got it. They got it. Everything's fine. You know, I mean, you don't have to scout them. You don't have to do anything to prepare for this game against the Denver Broncos. So the Falcons rookies report tomorrow. The Denver Broncos veterans are in today. Joe Flacco and the whole gang are in today for the Denver Broncos. And, yes, football's kind of underway. As we look at the headlines this morning, Kirby Smart front and center yesterday in Alabama, getting ready for the SEC season as he and Jake Fromm and Andrew Thomas, J.R. Reed, were part of SEC Media Days. And we learned the mantra, do more. That's apparently the Georgia mantra for the season, Hugh. Do more.
Me and Orwin, and A, for that matter, we were trying to figure it out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Like, okay. And I guess it was the cynic in my man Orwin, the Sigma, who was like, well, you know, maybe it's because, you know, you lost two big games. And, you know, you played really well, but you just didn't finish the game. Maybe that's what it means, like, do more. You need to do more to finish the game. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's going to have people talking. It's definitely going to have people talking, trying to understand what went into the thought process of making that your battle cry. I mean, you know, that bottom line. Who thought that was a good one? That's another one. Well, who thought this was a good idea?
Right. Do more is their battle cry. So, I mean, I guess their version of rise up. So do more is what the and you know, all they have to do when you say do more is make, unfortunately for Georgia, usually it's like just make one play. You know, unfortunately for them, really, what's standing between them and at least one, if not two national titles is like one play. Just make that one play you had to make. And so the Georgia Bulldogs talking. We'll have sound from Kirby Smart throughout the day, and we'll have more on Kirby and hear from him, hear from Jake Fromm a little bit later in the program. But one of the big stories, of course, is going to be the continuation of the SEC Media Days today with Alabama and Nick Saban front and center. Tua Tagovailoa and Jerry Jeudy and Alabama will be on the dais today, and that's always a lot of fun. And we'll talk with Chris Goforth later in the program. Also tonight, we mentioned it's a very busy week. Atlanta United getting ready as they play the Houston Dynamo. They've asked for a whiteout tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so they're going to wear the King Peach uniform. So either wear your King Peach or wear something white that's United or bring a white towel or whatnot. They want a whiteout tonight for Atlanta United and the Houston Dynamo. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with Mike and Jason from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then Mike Connie and Jason Longshore with the call of the game at 7 o'clock on the home of Atlanta United Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Then there's Grady. Yesterday, Grady was in the studio with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. You know, shout out to Grady and his family. He got paid. He got extra to make his extra cheesy. Got some bread.
Yeah, and Grady Jarrett showing up in studio talking about everything about the contract, about his offseason and whatnot. And we have the Dukes and Bell interview, and we're going to play it for you in about 10 and a half minutes here as we get ready for the Falcons rookies to report tomorrow. Good to have Grady done. Now we'll see what the rest of the week brings. In terms of today, where Drew Rosenhaus reported today, this is the day that Drew Rosenhaus walks in the door of Flowery Branch. He's not still your agent, is he?
No, he's not.
He only does active athletes?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
He's not my agent. I don't know what he does with retired athletes, but he's not my agent.
I gotcha. He represents Deion Jones, and he's going to be talking to the Falcons today, according to the reports, about an extension and a new contract for the Falcons star linebacker. So we'll keep our eyes on that. But Grady was in studio with Dukes and Bell. We have the interview, and we're going to play it for you. Hear what Grady had to say about the contract and about the team in his offseason and more. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. And first, the CBS Sportsman.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, John freaking Hugh Douglas. Dukes and Bell had a chance to do an interview with Grady Jarrett yesterday, and we'll play this interview for you right about now.
No, not at all, man. I actually feel like I handled it pretty well. I feel like everything was happening in due time, you know. I know I had put the work in, and, I mean, to be honest, y'all, I was prepared to, you know, do however I had to, whether it was playing a tag or, you know, we come to agreement. Glad we came to agreement and worked good for both sides, and we're excited.
You kind of went dark.
Oh, yeah.
You really didn't have too much to say to anybody. And I got friends that are friends with you, and I'm like, man, you heard from Grady? They're like, no, dog, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You went dark for a reason. You didn't want anything to get out there? What was the reason? Or you just wanted to wait till this was completely over?
Like I said, man, I was just letting the process take care of itself. But other than that, I was just, you know, since the season was over last year, man, I was just been in work mode. You know, I've been prepared just to try to just control the things I control, and that's the effort that I put in on the field week in and week out. So I was, man, I've been grinding, training, and mostly when people see me, you know, some random dude DM me like on Instagram, it was like, all we do is see you on vacation or doing something.
We get the same thing.
You need to be in the gym working. And I'm like, look, man, y'all know me. I'm putting the work show itself.
Right.
So I'm always grinding, man. But I just really been enjoying family time, man. I really took a lot of time to spend with my family, focus on, you know, some of my off the field stuff. Really just getting a lot of good me time, man. Because, you know, I done put in the work for a lot of things. And I didn't let this process stress me out, you know. And so it worked out how it was always going to work out, and I'm excited.
It's our man Grady Jarrett with us, 97 live in studio here as he's assigned his deal, and we're excited he's going to be around for 4 years. And again, this works out great. Gives you a chance to get maybe two big paydays.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Like I said, we're going to focus on the task at hand. I always continue to try to increase every year as a player when that's the plan. So as I continue to improve, you know, I set myself up for, you know, future endeavors as to come. But as for right now, I'm thankful for where I'm at, the work that I put in. I've been blessed. And I'm more than anything, man, I'm just so motivated. You know, a lot of times, you know, guys get a, you know, big paycheck or whatever, and they go to chill and relax. I just feel like it's totally opposite, you know. And so I just, like I said in my interviews early when I went to minicamp, I just feel like there's so much more out there for me and things that I want to accomplish that I haven't accomplished yet. And I'm just ready to go get it.
We were talking before you rolled in, Grady, about leadership on this team. When we're up at the club, we're up in the locker room at Flowery Branch, guys like Debo, like you. I mean, are you comfortable in that role? Because once you're going to be here for a while now, man. You're expected to
kind of be
the guy.
I've been in that role since I got to the Falcons, man. And, you know, my first year was a learning year for me. But since after that first year, I've always been in a position to be in a leadership role. I always had the respect of my peers by the way I work day in and day out. And so it's nothing new to me. It's what's expected of me. And, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So, I mean, that's the role that God got me on this earth for, and I'm going to continue to fulfill it.
Grady Jarrett in studio with us. Did you at any point, we had Coach Quinn on the show, and he was like, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned, you know, talking about you and Julio. And obviously, you know, there are other guys now that the team is trying to focus on. Did you at any point talk to him or Arthur Blank during this process?
A little bit, you know, throughout the process. But it was a respectable relationship through the whole thing, you know. It was just one of those things that business had to be handled, and the respect from both parties is so high. There wasn't any worry that I was gonna go out here and act crazy and do stuff like that, and there wasn't any worry on my end that they was gonna do me dirty or anything. if we came to something, we did. If we didn't, we did. It's all good. Like at the end of the day, I was in a position to, you know, still make more money than I've had in my career, but it is. I want a deal, right? But if it don't get done, then it just wasn't in the cards for me. Like, I'm not going to sit there and take it personal because, like I say, this is a business. And at the end of the day, I mean, as long as I take care of myself, I'm going to be all right, you know, and go on the field and do what I do. And I don't have much worry, man. I don't have much worry. I know if I go 100, stay out of trouble, do what I got to do, what I give, I'm going to get back tenfold. So there was no big stress on my end.
So you spoke to him, but it was a good conversation. Things were on the positive tip as far as how this whole thing was going to go, even though they didn't really know how it was going
to
go.
Yeah, even more than talking about the football stuff, when I talked to Q, it wasn't even on no contract stuff. He checking in on me, just saying what's up. And let me know how his vacation's going. Miss Stacy showing me love. Like, I mean, they got. I feel like we have a genuine relationship. To where even away from the Falcons. You know, that's a strong relationship that I'm blessed to have with Coach, and to be able to play for Mr. Blank in the organization. Man, I couldn't think of a better way if they handle it for me. And like I say, there's got to be hard conversations to be had. But, I mean, I didn't have to have them, you know, thankful for, you know, my agents and stuff like that handling business. I trusted them enough to handle business for me, and we came up with a good thing for both sides.
What is Dan's defense going to look like with Dan calling the shots? What is that going to be?
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. Me getting a peek at some of the things during minicamp, man, I just I'm excited to play. And we got some really good players on every level, guys getting more experience year in and year out. Got some young guys ready to step up, so I think it's gonna be definitely exciting, man. I'm definitely excited for the new guys to come on to the team and get AC back. You know, I just think we got some good stuff going.
One thing for certain, you know, you got to get, you know, you can't do it by yourself. We always say whenever you see 97 come out, like no, stay on the field. But you know, you got to take a break. But Tyler Davison comes over from the Saints. We got Jack Crawford, Rashid Hageman's back.
Yes, sir.
What are the guys next to you gonna? I mean, what can these guys do with you?
I mean, I'm excited to play with him. You know, got Tyler come over from the Saints. I mean, amazing run stuffer, man. Then we came out the same year. I'm watching Tyler, knowing his name since we came out of high school. So excited to be able to play with him. I mean, Jack Attack, man, he been doing his thing. He had a great year last year. He looking even better as I watched the tape from OTAs. So I'm excited to go hunt with him. Having Big Sheed back, man, I just missed him. You know, I missed him as a teammate, just going out day in and day out. And unfortunately, you know, some things happen, but he just, like, he was on his best. He picked off right where he left off, so he's doing good, playing that nose position, and having Sanat, watching him grow. So, I mean, we got guys, man, and it's just so exciting to see the guys hungry for success. You know, I can't wait to see what Tack do this year, what Vic do, and having AC back, that's big. I mean, we got guys, man, even the rookie Kaminsky, man. I mean, he going to learn, but he go hard.
He does.
He goes hard.
We like this kid from what we've heard.
Yeah, like he, at the end of the day, like I tell rookies, man, as long as you go out there and do your best, you ain't messing up the plays, and you just giving great effort, control what you can control. You know, you don't want to go out there busting plays, but you're going to take some L's. Even as a vet, I'm still taking them, you know. So you can't let that discourage you. But as long as you give great effort and continue to and be open to learn, you're going to be all right. So, I mean, we got guys that's hungry for it. Coach Simpson been doing a great job with us. We already got familiarity working with him. So, We excited. And DQ a defensive line guy. So, you know, we're going to have the good attention.
All right, this is the Roy Firestone moment. It's Dukes and Bell.
You going to make him cry?
I'm going to try. It is Grady Jarrett. Mm-hmm. Grady's looking at me like, bro, don't do this. You are a local product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
What do you say to kids that now see Grady Jarrett, who just got one of the biggest deals as an NFL player, to say, man, I don't see it. I can't find a way out. I'm not going to make it. You were a fifth-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you just signed a deal that people dream about.
Yeah.
What do you say to kids that are listening right now in Atlanta that can be Grady Jarrett?
Man, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. And if you don't, ain't nobody else going to do it for you. You got to put the work in when nobody looking. You got to, even when it get hard, even when people that you got to sit next to day in and day out telling you ain't going to make it, telling the next person you ain't make it, calling people to go out their way to make sure that you don't make it, you keep grinding and you keep going because you can't stop. Like you say, I'm a two-star high school recruit, you know, fifth-round draft pick. Like I say, the work was always there, but the acceptance from others, whether it be recruiting websites, people who make the decisions about All-Americans, this and that, all conferences, whatever it is, colleges that make the decisions about this and that, they don't get the final word. At the end of the day, as long as you put your work in, it's going to take care of itself. And the story that people don't see, you know, they don't talk about the times like, man, I went to South Carolina, coming through high school, had a great camp. They told me I was too short. I cried in the back of the car with my mama. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many stories like that, man. I went to Florida, Alabama. So many times, they ain't even know who I was. Like, but
they didn't want to talk to you.
Man, them people don't care about no 270-pound, 5'11", 6-foot dude coming in there with 18, 20 sacks in high school, led the state of Georgia. They ain't want that. You know, it's all about, you know, everybody want the prototype. But like I say, it ain't one like me. And without a doubt, and however you take that, the road I had to travel was my road, you know. And and I embraced it, you know. And if you don't embrace it and you just looking around at what the next person doing, you worry about this and that. You want acceptance. You want this and that. You gonna fall into a place where you gonna feel like you don't measure up. But you gotta know in your heart of hearts, no matter what it is, whatever walk of life you in, that you can do it. But you can't get nothing done if you don't believe in yourself. And a lot of people see the work and they see where it at. Like, cause I'm in front of you now, you know. But they don't see what it took, all the denial and you know this and that. But, you know, sometimes people get denied and they go to guessing themselves. One thing about me, I ain't never second-guess myself. And I would always say, like, even when stuff was get hard, I don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
This is going to happen. But I just had to put my head down and keep working. And like I say, for even the things that's out there for me that I still haven't reached yet, I know it's going to happen. And that's just, you know, that's just, I mean, I've came through so much stuff and went through so much hardships. As far as being denied and just telling that you wasn't good enough and this and that. And I didn't even do it. To be honest, I didn't even do it to tell nobody that they was wrong, like, or prove nobody wrong. I did it to prove the people who believed in me right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To prove it to myself. Because at the end of the day, I wasn't afraid to go out there and give it my all. Like, even when I got whooped, I'll still come back. You know what I'm saying? And I think me taking losses and remembering that feeling how I felt, I ain't want to feel it again. And that's something that, you know, just continue to drive me. And I don't get discouraged in the fact that, you know, things don't, you know, always go your way. But at the end of the day, there's a reason for it. Like, shoot, like even like with the draft, like, you know, like everything coming out with the draft, he'll lay first round, second round, pick at the worst, or second day of the draft. Coach Sweeney called me like, yo, congratulations, man, today your day. And we watching the draft, and my dang old house catch on fire.
Jeez.
And it's like, you know, that take away. Then I don't get drafted the second day. And then it's like, what the world going on? In a span of couple of hours, I was mad at the end of the first round when New England played their last pick, and it wasn't me. And people don't – And then when I went to the combine, the only team I met with at the combine was the Cleveland Browns. Mm. I had one meeting.
One.
I had one meeting. And it's like, you know, and I don't put, like I say, I don't put nobody down, nothing like that.
You sharing your
story.
But
you can just go back and look at, you know, my draft class and see where I stand compared to the people that was taking ahead of me or this and that. But like I say, I don't do nothing to prove nobody wrong. I just believed in myself. Like, whether I got taken in the first round or I was undrafted the year I came out, I was going to be standing right here before y'all today.
Yeah, Grady Jarrett with Dukes and Bell yesterday. A lot of great insight from a guy who was a two-star player, as he said, in high school, to a fifth-round draft pick and how that played out to now potentially an all-pro and maybe the best defensive tackle in Falcons history. Quite a story.
Yeah, and I can relate. I can relate. Everything that he said, you know, it's the same thing that I try to tell my son and try to share stories with him like that. Everybody has stories similar to that, man. But he's not lying. And I know he said on more than one occasion that he's not trying to prove anybody wrong, but that's what drives you. When people tell you what you can't do, that's a hell of a motivator. When somebody's telling you all the time that you're not big enough to do this or you can't do that, and you go out there and prove them wrong. And he did that. Shout out to Grady Jarrett, man.
Yeah, it is a busy day. The Falcons rookies report tomorrow. The Denver Broncos report today, all their veterans, and we get ready for the Falcons and training camp next Monday on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. When we get back, we'll update you on where the Braves stand as they get ready to finish up in Milwaukee and finally head home and play a home game tomorrow in a critical series against Washington. That's next with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game and 90.10TheGame.com.
You don't like losing, and you know, it's going to happen. I mean, I knew coming in to tonight, we had all we could handle with who they had pitching. You know, I'm glad we won yesterday because now we got a chance to, you know, still win the series. So that's what we'll be shooting for tomorrow.
Yeah, it wasn't a pitching matchup that was going to favor the Atlanta Braves. Welcome back to the morning show. Brandon Woodruff has been the ace of the Milwaukee staff this year, and he was going to be a handful anyway. Matter of fact, he shut the Braves down. The other part of the story of that bad loss last night was that the Braves batters just were absolutely handcuffed in this game. All their big bats were silenced by Woodruff in a 13-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers. But you know what? Go out, win today, Hugh, and take the series and come back home. And it's been a minute, by baseball standards, a minute since they played at home.
Yeah, I mean, we can't wait to have them back, man. And, you know, coming up this week, we got the Nationals coming into town, a team that's been pretty – they've been surging pretty good lately. And it's a team that I'm thinking that down the line that we're probably going to have to, you know, be in contention with for the National League crown. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that plays out. But this road trip, that pitching matchup last night, yeah, I mean, that was a tough one, no question about it.
Well, Dallas Keuchel pitches today for the Braves in Milwaukee, a 2-10 start. And then they come home to face the Nationals in that four-game set Thursday through Sunday. It'll be the first time the Braves have been at home since the last game of the, air quotes, first half of the season. Now, the Braves have a bit of a conundrum. They have something good and bad here. Max Fried was put on the 10-day IL. I still want to call it the DL, but they changed the name to the IL. Not disabled, he's injured. The 10-day injured list with this blister on his pitching hand, Hugh, on his left index finger. So he's out for at least 10 days, and so he'll miss at least one start, at least.
Yeah, well, I guess that's more of a precautionary thing because he said after the game, after he had it, that it was something that, you know, it wasn't that bad. He didn't feel any pain. It's just, I guess, just to let the blister go down. I guess they have some stuff. They got stuff for that to help the blister go away and just help him get back to it. So he's going to need a little bit of time just to rest up.
Yeah, they'll go into this Washington series a little bit shorthanded. There's some question marks as to, because Dallas Keuchel's pitching today, so he's not going to be available against the Nationals. You'll have Julio Teheran, you'll have Mike Soroka, and then what do you have? You don't have Keuchel, you don't have Fried. Are you really going to drop Bryce Wilson back out there after last night? I guess you have no choice.
You really have no choice in this situation.
You may have to. The only saving grace for the Braves on the other side is that Max Scherzer is also on the injured list, and so they'll skip missing Max Scherzer in this series against Washington. They will have to face Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin, but they won't see Max Scherzer for the four games here. So this leads you to the discussion, the broader discussion that's been going on ahead of the trade deadline, which is 2 weeks from today. Will the Braves make a move? Now, Jim Bowden, writing The Athletic yesterday, said something that was intriguing on one hand, but, you know, kind of like, all right, I mean, as much as I'd love it, I'm not sure about it. He was talking about how there are a lot of teams, Hugh, that are going to be sellers who, for whatever reason, see what's going on in Major League Baseball. And what they want to do is they don't want to trade one guy. They want to package guys. And so if you want their star reliever, they want to throw in a starter. Or if you want their star starter, they're going to throw in a reliever trying to get even more of a bounty in return. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, that's kind of the rule of thumb. You look at all these teams, like, listen, if I'm in a situation where I'm not going and you're going, like you have a chance, I'm talking to the playoffs, that is, and if you have a chance to go, yeah, I'm gonna try to get as much as I possibly can for you because I have something that you want. And I've made it clear that I'm willing to move on because one of the guys, I think, Bumgarner's name is coming up a lot.
Mm-hmm, right.
His name is coming up a lot. So, yeah, if you want my guy, then, yeah, I'm going to try to get as much as I possibly can from you. And that's what it all comes down to. That's what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks when it comes to the Braves. How bad do you want it? Because that's what it's going to be. And how much are you willing to give up to get it? Bottom line.
Because Toronto, there was so much talk about the combination of Marcus Stroman as a starter and Ken Giles as a reliever. And that prompted kind of San Francisco to float out the idea, well, if you want Will Smith, you got to and Madison Bumgarner. If you want one of the two, you got to take the other, which is King's ransom stuff. And then Bowden threw out another saying that he's not sure that the Cleveland Indians aren't going to be sellers at this point. And if the Cleveland Indians are sellers because they can't chase down the Minnesota Twins, you know, Trevor Bauer and Brandon Hand. Now, That is just Brad Hand and Trevor Bauer would be just a dynamite combination. Hand is a great reliever. Bauer is a frontline starter. And if you could get those on the Braves, suddenly the Braves might. You get Trevor Bauer and Brad Hand on this team, that changes everything. But you know the cost of that would be enormous.
What are you willing to give up? And that's the thing. And that's why I said the other day that if the Braves don't do anything, if they don't make a move, is that going to be okay? I mean, because when you look at the storyline and how it's trending right now, you know, outside of yesterday, you have the bullpen in the National League, I think, with the lowest ERA of every bullpen in the National League, that is. And to have that, knowing going into this trade deadline and going into this where teams are trying to move guys, they're going to try to fleece you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to fleece you because this is what you're dealing with. You have a chance to make a World Series run. How serious are you, or how much do you honestly believe that you could make a push this year and win it? That's what it's going to come down to. And another thing is, do you feel like you have enough with the way that everybody's playing right now and a little bit of luck? Can you beat the Dodgers? Bottom line. I think the Phillies beat the Dodgers last night by one run. Like it was like 7-9 or something. Like, no, wait a minute, 8-9 or something like that.
I'll look it up.
But that's what you're looking at, John.
Yeah, 9-8.
You're looking at a situation where, okay, I don't want to mortgage my future. We have a pretty good team, no question about that. But is it good enough to weather the storm for what, 5 games? Is that what we're talking about? Four games, 5 games, whatever it is, best of 7? Yeah. Do we have enough to weather that? That's what you're saying. And can we piecemeal this thing together to win one? Well, I mean, obviously, first you got to get there. But, yeah, to win one.
Right, and the idea, it'll be interesting to see what the teams pay. And if this whole new concept of these teams that want to, package up a starter and a reliever into the same thing and make it into a package deal. Because, you know, as much as Braves fans might have gotten excited reading, because, Jim Bowden comes out of a former GM and now a baseball analyst comes out and says the Indians want to package Trevor Bauer and Brad Hand. That's great. I mean, it's wonderful. And, yeah, the idea would be they'd be fabulous on the Braves. The idea of Dallas Keuchel with Mike Soroka and Trevor Bauer. Suddenly you have a rotation that is worthy of the Dodgers or anybody else in terms of your frontline rotation, but you have a lockdown closer in hand, but I don't even want to think of what the price is going to be. I mean, what would they ask for? Would they ask for Austin Riley? They might ask for Austin Riley. I mean, forget about Christian Pache or Drew Walters. They may ask for Austin Riley.
Whatever it is, John, is meant to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's what it is. You're going to ask for some, and then you have to play the game on, okay, how much is another team willing to give you, and how realistic are you? You know, it's like negotiating for a car. You go in and you try to get – you lowball the car dealer as much as you possibly can. You play hardball until it comes down to how bad do you really want it, and then you get into some serious negotiations. It's going to be one of those where that's probably what it's going to be. It's going to be a whole lot of, man, are you drunk? Are you crazy? And then you're going to start negotiating. You're going to really start negotiating. Because you'll come in and ask something real low. Like, give it to me.
All right. The SEC season starting in about 5 weeks, and Kirby Smart was front and center in the Georgia Bulldogs, the head coach, and his star players at SEC Media Days. We have the audio of what Kirby said. How do you like the new motto? It's one of our questions, Georgia's new motto, do more. It's one of our big questions on our Twitter right now, at 929 The Game. We encourage you to go to our Twitter and tell us if you're a Dogs fan. How do you like the new kind of mantra motto of the Georgia Bulldogs this year, do more? Jake Fromm actually spoke to that. We'll hear from Jake, too, next, as we look back on SEC Media Days and what the Georgia Bulldogs had to say in Alabama, as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I'd like to think I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit more experienced, a better decision maker on and off the field. I'd like to say that, you know, I can make a lot of better throws, can make better throws, and really just kind of excel, not only as a leader, as a teammate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly parts.